chapter 14. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 14. We'll get started this morning. While you're turning, let me say what a blessing it is to see Brother Steve and Miss Wanda back. We have missed them terribly bad, and I'm so glad that they was able to be back. Good to see several others. It's been a while, and we're so glad to see all of you. Matthew chapter number 14. You've been seated a while. Let's stand together, and we'll read and reverence God's word as we do. If you're there, say amen. Verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. Very familiar text this morning. Most of you, I'm sure, have read it and heard it preached on before. That's the wonderful thing about the Word of God. You can read it over and over and over. You can read it the same passage 100 times in a row, and on the 101st time get something and see something brand new that you never seen before, because God's Word is alive and different than any other book. But I want to preach this morning from this scripture on the subject, hidden blessings in the storms of life. Hidden blessings in the storms of life. In the passage of scripture that we read, we see the disciples of the Lord trapped in a fierce storm. They find themselves in the storm because they've been commanded by God. The Lord told them to enter this ship and to cross over to the other side on the Sea of Galilee. Chapter 14, verse 22, Jesus said, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. So these men are in the will of God. These men are doing exactly what God had told them to do. Yet they encounter a storm, and not a small storm, but a major storm. I mean, gale force winds coming at them, tempestuous waves overriding the boat, and they're in an unstable place, and they're unable to make any headway. Do you ever feel like that? You ever feel like you're trying your best to live for God and obey God and to do exactly what God has commanded you to do, only to find yourself out in the middle of a storm that you are, no matter how hard you paddle, and no matter how hard you toil and strive to get through the storm, or either to back up and evade the storm that way, no matter what you do, you are stuck in the middle of the storm. That's a scary place to be. They feared for their lives. Yet, they were in the middle of God's will, which tells me God planned for them to be in this storm. God, by His sovereign will, had some things He wanted to reveal to them in the storm. And the winds, the Bible said, referred to in verse 24, the winds were in their face. Verse 24 said, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." The harder they tried, the harder it got. These 12 men were stuck in the storm, unable to get out. They were in a place that was uncomfortable. They were in a place that they never dreamed they would end up. I mean, you would think when you are obeying the Lord and following the Lord that life should go as planned and that life should be smooth sailing. But this proves to us, and God is trying to teach us and to tell us, that even in the center of God's will, He will send you through hard times. He will allow the dark clouds to come over you, and He will allow the boisterous winds to come in your direction. And even in at your best and living your best, God has things that He can only reveal to you in the storm. There are sides of God that you'll never know apart from the storm. Have you ever found yourself stuck in life's storm? May not be a physical storm, but it could be a financial storm. When you've been saving and scrimping and scraping and paying your bills on time and doing everything you know to do, only for there to be an unexpected doctor bill and an unexpected doctor visit or a car wreck or this or that or a pink slip. Or fill in the blank, and you've been tithing, you've been giving the faith promise, you've been sharing and spreading the gospel, only to come up short, seems like, every month. You say, "Oh, well, that ain't no big deal." That, you call that a storm? Obviously, you hadn't lived that way. Come talk to me, I'll share with you. That is a storm. It could be that you have raised your child in the house of God, and you have instilled in them the Word of God, and you've made it a priority to teach and train your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that you would impart to them the importance and the priority of living for Jesus and serving Jesus and being faithful to the house of God and to the God of the house, and only for them to get to a certain age and forsake everything that you've ever told them, to forsake everything you've ever trained them to do, and it feels like that everything you've done was in vain. That's a storm that many of you parents have lived through. Some of you parents are living through it now. And that's a major Category 5 storm. I can't think of anything more heartbreaking than for me to find out that one of my children has departed from everything me and their mother has trained them and spent our life trying to instill in them to find out or get a phone call, the heartbreaking, heart-wrenching phone call that my children are living in sin. That's a storm. That's a heartbreaking storm. And I'm simply saying, storms are coming. You don't have to find them. They will find you. I promise you. Everybody listening? And I told you I was going to be short this morning, so you can pay attention until I get done. This ain't a laughing matter. I guarantee you. How many of y'all heard about the awful mile-wide tornado that ripped through Mississippi and killed over 27, 28 people that they found so far? I guarantee you when those people woke up yesterday morning, they had no idea that they'd be facing the storm of their life that was going to uproot everything they'd ever worked for. They didn't go looking for that storm. They didn't plan for that storm. Just out of nowhere, and that's usually how storms come. Out of nowhere, unexpected, but there it is facing you. And that's how the storms of life are. Most parents that has a child who gets pregnant out of wedlock, they never dreamed that would happen to their child. Most people who spent their life working in a factory or working at a job, and they've given it their all, and they've been the best employee, never dreamed they're going to walk in and get a pink slip. I wouldn't call their name this morning, but there's a man in our church right now this morning that spent many, many, many years, decades, working at a place and giving it his best, only to walk in and find out his job's gone. So that's not that big of a deal. It is a big deal. If it was your job and your livelihood, it's a big deal. But I'm saying across the spectrum, whether it's a child, a marriage, a job, whatever the case, storms will find you. And when they do, it's easy. And please get this. I'm just going to deal with the introduction this morning, but please get this. They will find you, and they will be unexpected. And I come to tell you this morning, according to the Word of God, just because you find yourself in a storm don't mean you've done something wrong. Just because your child is acting like a fool don't mean you raised them wrong. The Bible said, train up a child in the way, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Don't say that he won't never depart, period. That ain't what God said. Just because you've done everything right. These disciples had done right. They were obeying Jesus. And there they are in the storm. So, number one, don't blame yourself for the storm. These boys on this ship didn't bring the storm on themselves. Now, there are storms that we do bring on ourselves. You remember Jonah? That storm came because Jonah disobeyed the Lord. However, there are storms that you had nothing to do with, that you didn't invite or bring on. It was the hand of God who is allowing that storm to invade your life so that He can reveal a side of Him and show you and reveal to you hidden treasures found only in the storm. Now, let me hurry. Listen, while storms are never pleasant, they do produce certain benefits in our lives. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, listen to this verse. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. I'd like for us to join the disciples this morning in their storm. And as we do, I want to show you that the storms of life contain hidden blessings for the children of God. I don't know what kind of storm you're facing. I don't know what kind of storm you have faced or will face. But there will be storms that rage in your life that you will need to know what God's saying to us. Every Christian can benefit from the blessings found in the storm by understanding the following truths. We'll do one this morning. Storms are God's means of transportation. Storms are God's means of transportation. Verse 25, if you'll look at it again. The Bible said in verse 25, I ain't got no glasses, I can't read that. Who's got their Bible open? Stand up and read it, Stephen, or JD, one of y'all, whoever's got it. Thank you. That was way easier than me squinting and trying to read something and not be able to. The fourth watch of the night, Jesus came walking. He was being transported on and in the storm. He used the very thing that brought fear and that gripped those disciples' heart, he used that very thing, the waves that were overcoming and overwhelming them, he used it as a way to get closer to them. And please know this, when storms come your way, when God allows storms to arise in your life and the rain beats down and the lightning cracks and the thunder rolls and roars, it very well could be that, and you look around and say, Lord, what did I do wrong? I don't understand why this is happening to me. It could be, just like it was here, you didn't do anything wrong, but it's God's form of transportation where He, the God of heaven, is moving toward you and getting closer to you. The very thing that the disciples feared, the sea, was the very thing that the Lord used as a vehicle to reveal Himself to them. Have you ever noticed that the hardest time, and I alluded to this last week, but the hardest times of your life is when you seemingly get closer to God than you ever have? When you need Him more than you've ever needed Him? It's like when the sun's shining and the ocean is like glass and there's no waves and there's no wind. We're pretty self-reliant and we're pretty self-dependent and we have no need of the Lord, we think. You study the Old Testament, that's what the whole Old Testament was about. The children of Israel, when they had it at ease in Zion, they would go about and doing their own thing and not needing the Lord, and their prayer life would dry up, and before long they would build things in high places, and they would set up their idols, and they would veer away from God, and God would have to bring storms and calamities into their life so that He could be transported toward them and to them and would draw them back to Himself. And I promise you this, God don't allow storms to come your way for no reason. If it's storming, God has a purpose. And it's usually, if you didn't cause the storm, if you didn't do something to provoke God, if it's not a form of punishment, then it's God's way of getting close to you and drawing nigh to you. And that's not a bad thing. As bad as it looks, as dark as the clouds look, I promise you, these boys, when they were out in the middle of the sea, they did not know what was going on. All they knew, they was being tossed to and fro. And the harder they tried, the worse it got. And they couldn't make heads or tails. They didn't think they'd live to see another day. And listen, that's when Jesus was moving toward them and they couldn't see His movements. They couldn't track His movements. I mean, for a while, even when He got close to them, they couldn't make Him out. They thought it was a spirit. And He had already come from way from the shore all the way nigh to them, walking on the water. And I promise you this, when it's dark as 1,000 midnights, trust me, God's headed your way. The devil will lie to you and say, God's forsaken you and God's forgot about you and God don't care about you and God's left you out here to die, when it's the whole time God's the one who orchestrated the storm. God's the one who rides on the clouds and God's the one who is taking those clouds and riding in as a way of transportation to get to you. And then out of nowhere, in the darkness of the night, you will see Him appear. And you'll begin to make out, there's a form, there's something I don't recognize. It's not a rock, it's not a boat, it's not, as the old show goes, it's a plane, it's a bird. No, it's Superman. Well, he's the real Superman. And he's the one who can ride through the waves and ride through the wind and get to you no matter how dark, no matter how bad it is. God uses the storm as a means of transportation to get to you. He comes in the face of darkness. The Bible says that Jesus came to them in the fourth watch of the night. That's sometime between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. You can't get any darker. You can't get any blacker. But yet that's when He came. During the darkest hours is when Jesus came. Ain't you glad? This is another subject, another message, but it just sowed a seed in me to build a message off of that. Ain't you glad that darkness didn't hinder him? I mean, the darkest of dark. As dark as the night could be, the fourth watch, as black as it could be, it didn't hinder Jesus from coming. He didn't need to punch in GPS and find a way of navigation to them. And listen, as dark as this world's got, it's dark out there. I mean, it's dark and dangerous out there. But thank the Lord, he ain't going to need a GPS to find the church. He ain't going to need a GPS to come back through this dark wall. He's the light of the world, and he will navigate himself to you and to me when it's time. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came walking in the face of darkness. I might as well preach a while. It's pouring down rain out there. Y'all ain't going to walk to your car. Ain't you glad God's always with you? He ain't going to forsake you when the storm gets real bad. He won't put you on hold and say, I'll get back with you when the sun starts shining. No, he moves.